We have some great programs lined up for you during the Christmas season, and here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. Christmas programming. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Christmas programming bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekends of December 18th and 25th. Talk radio for the Christmas season. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org and click support.
It's a story that's dear to Michelle and me as Christians, but it's a message that's universal. The child was born far from home to spread a simple message of love and redemption to every human being around the world.
Especially we praise you for Elizabeth, whom you have graciously received into your presence.
The beginning and the end of this story is attributable to a woman with extraordinary courage and extraordinary determination, and that's Elizabeth Smart.
I'm so thrilled to be here. I'm so thrilled with the verdict.
For the prayers of the saints, whether they are for big or small or even impossible things, are no bother to our Lord.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers, love, Issues, etc.
Well, it's an abortion case. It's called ABC versus Ireland, and it's being brought before the European Court of Human Rights, a rough corollary to the U.S. Supreme Court. It's also being called the Roe v. Wade ruling of Europe, and it may be decided in some form or another this very week. Roe v. Wade now for the European Union. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about the Roe v. Wade ruling of Europe with Bill Saunders, Senior Counsel of Americans United for Life, for the first few minutes of this program, live this Wednesday, December the 15th. A little later in this hour, Dr. Kim Riddle-Bargrove will join us. Harold Camping has made another prediction. Back in 1994, he predicted the end of the world. Didn't happen, by the way. But he's made another prediction. May 21st, 2011, he says, and he has all of his Bible ducks in a row, all his passages ready to go to prove that it's going to happen May 21st, 2011. Dr. Kim Riddle-Barger of the White Horse Inn will tell us what he thinks about that a little bit later in the second hour of Issues Etc. Or you can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Joining us to talk about ABC versus Ireland, being called the Roe v. Wade ruling of Europe, Bill Saunders, Senior Counsel of Americans United for Life. Bill, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, nice to be with you.
Why is this being called the Roe v. Wade of Europe?
Well, it's just a tad bit complicated, but just let me say that in Europe, there's a treaty that governs relations among the states, and the question is, does that treaty impose a right to abortion? If this court called the European Court of Human Rights holds that it does impose abortion, then it'll be just like the Supreme Court's decision in Roe v. Wade imposing abortion on our 50 states. The court has not decided yet. The decision comes out tomorrow.
What is the current state of abortion laws in the European Union?
Well, there's a fair amount of diversity, but there are some countries, including Ireland, who is the defendant in this case, which prohibit abortion. So what's being alleged in this case is there's some right to abortion under this treaty that would force Ireland to change its own constitution.
So it sounds as though if Ireland were forced to change its constitution and this treaty were found to require that what is legal there is legal everywhere in the European Union, it could do exactly what Roe v. Wade did in the States here about 35 years ago.
Yeah, it could. Some of the countries, of course, in Europe are more liberal than others, just like some states here in the U.S. were a little more liberal in abortion than others before Roe. But this would say it's almost like saying it's very similar to our Supreme Court saying our Constitution gives a right to abortion. And it's just as silly, because the word abortion doesn't appear in our Constitution and it doesn't appear in this treaty. So if the court finds a right to abortion under this treaty, it's the same kind of problem that Americans have had to suffer under since 1973, which is judicial activism.
Let's talk about that 73 decision. You say that even pro-abortion law professors agree that Roe was bad law. What do you mean?
Well, there's as a consensus among law professors that it was just a terrible decision in the sense of very badly reasoned. Now, some of these liberal law professors would say there's a right to abortion that they could, I would have to say, cook up themselves. But the Supreme Court's argument that under an implied right to privacy is a right to abortion is rejected by really all law professors that I'm aware of, because, again, the word abortion doesn't appear in our Constitution. There's no way to say that historically abortion was understood by the people who framed the Constitution to be a right. And so nobody supports the reasoning, really, of the Supreme Court in Roe v. Wade.
Now, in this ABC versus Ireland case that we're talking about here in the European Union, does there appear to be similar reasoning on the part of those who want to see Ireland's prohibition against abortion overturned?
Yeah, let me this would be amusing if it weren't so tragic. Their argument is that because there is a provision in the treaty that prohibits torture, and because there's a provision in the treaty that gives people the right to privacy, which means the right not to be interfered with by their government, just like we have a right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures, that when you combine those two rights, you get a right to abortion. That's their argument. And it's absurd because nobody who wrote this treaty, no country who adopted this treaty, nobody said anything about abortion. They didn't intend abortion to be in there. But these pro-abortion lawyers will make will cook up any kind of argument to advance a right to abortion.
I got to wonder, Bill, why in the world has it taken so long for Europe to catch up with the United States on something like this? I say that obviously tongue-in-cheek.
Sure. Well, one thing is, in a number of European countries, there are some liberal abortion laws. But this is what is so fascinating, really, about this is there's only a few countries in Europe where abortion is prohibited, three countries. But the pro-abortion people cannot allow any dissent from the idea that abortion is a human right. So they want to force countries like Ireland, who have had two nationwide referenda to ban abortion. They want to force them to recognize abortion. The most intolerant people in the world are the pro-abortion people.
How do you expect this to go?
Well, there's two ways it could go. One way, which would be a good outcome from our perspective, is the case could be dismissed. It's very complicated. I'm a lawyer, and a lot of your listeners aren't, so I won't bore them. But you're supposed to go to Irish courts before you go to the European court. The plaintiffs never did that. However, there's no reason to have held a hearing like the court did last December. I mean, they should have just dismissed the case without hearing it. So although they might dismiss it tomorrow, they might rule on what we call the merits. They might make some determination about whether there's a right to abortion, and if so, how broad that right is. But I'll tell you this. If they make any ruling on the question of abortion, it's judicial activism again, because the word abortion is not in that treaty. And the tradition of the European countries is the issue of abortion is left to each nation state to decide for itself. So unless they dismiss this case for procedural reasons, which they should do, then any ruling they have is judicial activism. And what it means is that this court is going to become more activist and move towards finding a right to abortion, which then leftist lawyers can come into our Supreme Court the day after Roe v. Wade is overturned and say, guess what? There's an international right to abortion. May not be one under the U.S. Constitution anymore, but there's an international one. And we have activists on the Supreme Court who I think might buy that argument.
We know the complexion of the U.S. Supreme Court very well, term to term, on the issue of abortion. There's all sorts of case law that tells us where our justices are voting and where their minds are at. Do we have any idea where the European Court of Human Rights stands, justice to justice, on the issue of abortion?
We do not. It's a big court of 17 justices and with some part-time justices as well. Some of these people are political appointees who were, have never been judges before they were on this court. There is a decision of the European Court which said, this was about 6 or 7 years ago, which said abortion is supposed to be left to the member states. So I'm hopeful that they will not overturn that decision. But then again, you got to ask yourself, why did they even have hearing on this case? why did it take them a year to issue an opinion if it's as simple as I say it really is, which is it should be dismissed because they didn't go to the Irish courts. So the problem is there are a lot of European bureaucrats who favor abortion, and a number of those will be on this court, but we don't know how many.
When we come back from this break, we'll talk a little bit more with Bill Saunders, Senior Counsel of Americans United for Life, about the Roe v. Wade ruling of Europe, ABC versus Ireland, being heard this week in the European Court of Human Rights. Folks, you can help us defend life from beginning to end by making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. No gift is too small. You can make a secure online donation. IssuesETC.org is our website, IssuesETC.org. You can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to this address, LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Here's the address again, LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for helping us defend life from beginning to end. When we come back, a few more minutes with Bill Saunders, Senior Counsel of Americans United for Life, talking about the fate of this court case in the European Court of Human Rights could bring a Roe v. Wade-like decision to the European Union as well. And then, after we conclude our conversation with Bill, Dr. Kim Riddlebarger will join us, co-host of the radio program The White Horse Inn, pastor of Christ Reformed Church in Anaheim, California, and author of the book A Case for Amillennialism, Understanding the End Times. We'll talk about a recent end times prediction made by Harold Campling of Family Radio. He predicted back in 1994 that the world would come to an end that year. It didn't. He's made another prediction. He has a rather impressive array of Bible passages and a way of reading the calendar that puts the end of the world at May 21st, 2011. We'll see what Dr. Kim Riddlebarger says about that a little bit later in this hour.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
The Word Made Flesh, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Had this God not come in human flesh, would we ever know the true God? The true God is only known in the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift before the end of the year. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2010.
An umbilical cord of biblical truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker. Welcome back to Issues Etc., talking about the Roe v. Wade of Europe, ABC versus Ireland. Bill Saunders, Senior Counsel of Americans United for Life, is our guest. Bill, before the break, you were talking about how the last ruling they made on this was that the individual states of the European Union could decide on the abortion issue for themselves. Now, let me see if I can put this together. If the European Court of Human Rights decides anything other than to refuse to hear this case, you said that would be judicial activism. Would it also, in effect, overturn their previous ruling, assigning the abortion issue to the individual states?
Yeah, I think it would. It would be a huge decision, because one of the ways they've gotten cooperation in Europe was, you know, that, quote, social issues, end quote, are left to the member states. But the fact is, these, you know, as you, I'm sure, are well aware, leftist lawyers and pro-abortion and activists are always pushing for these international institutions to take away national sovereignty. So if the court rules in that direction, I hope, frankly, if they do, it will precipitate a political crisis in Europe. I don't know if it will, but if I was Ireland and they ruled that we had to change our constitution, I'd tell them to drop dead and I withdraw from the Council of Europe, but we shall see.
Well, one last quick question. You said before that this court case, ABC versus Ireland, was not taken to the Irish courts prior to being taken to the European Court of Human Rights. Is that roughly parallel to someone bringing a case to the U.S. Supreme Court without trying it in the lower courts first?
It certainly is. It's outrageous, isn't it? I mean, and not only this, the treaty says, you know, you have to exhaust the local remedies, which means go to the national courts. So it is parallel to that, and my only worry is, why did they take a year if that's what they're going to say? So I'm fearful they're going to say something about abortion, but I hope they will dismiss the case because the plaintiffs did not go to the Irish courts first.
William Saunders is Senior Counsel of Americans United for Life. You'll find a link to Americans United for Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Bill, thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure.